Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is May 5th, 2016. The world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in the time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Excuse me. And you can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, our email address, our mailing address, all on our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. Prophecyhour.com. And, you know, folks, remember that if, you know, a lot of people don't like to talk on the telephone. If you don't, you can send me an email with your prayer request. I'll take it to the mission. I'll print it out, take it to the mission church, anoint it with oil, and we will pray on it. Then, if you include an address, I'll send it back to you at no cost, no obligation. I'm not going to start sending you things in the mail to get money out of you. None of those things. I'll just simply send it back, and I'll forget about your address. Unless, of course, you email or, you know, we talk again. Or you can send me your phone number in an email and tell me that what time you'd be available for me to call you, and I'll try and call you to the best of my ability. Or you can use the phone number. Or you can use, you know, that thing, the United States Postal Service. I know for most of you in the electronic age, that's a little bit slow, you know, but they're not riding horses, and it does get here pretty efficiently. So you can also use the U.S. Postal Service, and you can find our mailing address at our blog, again, which is prophecyhour.com. Our program archives can also be found over there, so check them out. They're really smartphone-friendly. Forward them to your friends. That helps the ministry in a great way. And so I also want to thank our listener base out there. You know, we're being listened to all over the world, places like Iran. Can you imagine somebody in Iran's listening to us? You know, Iran, Russia, Germany, all over the world, you know, and in cities across the United States, whether it's Plano, Texas, Houston, Texas, San Jose, California, you know, all of those places, New York City, New York, you know, those kind of places are listening to us. So I want to thank all you folks in each of your individual cities that are listening to us, and thank you for sharing our program with other people. Drop me an email once in a while and let me know what you think of the program. That's always helpful. And now then, moving right along from that, so let's have a prayer, and then we will bring our guest on. But, oh, don't let me forget, I need to thank the listeners in Wichita, Kansas, and you folks in Wichita. Drop by and see what we do, because, after all, we are in your city, and pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church. Anyway, now prayer will bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray, Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not mine, and not necessarily our guest will, but your will, Father. And please give everyone out there ears and wish to hear the truth. So please, Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, Kenneth Updegrove of Ark Haven Ministries has been on with us many times. And in the past, after hearing his interviews, people went to see the land that he has led. You see, as a ministry, that he's in. Well, he seems to be in a place of safety. At least Corey Timboom saw a vision of angels protecting the land. He says it's a place of refuge for the future, and I agree that it is. And that is if you're led to be there. Don't go anyplace unless not. Don't go there because I told you to go there or Kenneth told you to go there, but because you have a relationship and you have been had an unction from the Holy Spirit, from God, to go there. That's when you do it. Because otherwise, we're not going to be safe. In this time, we have to do what is prudent through the Spirit. Anyway, I've been reading this new book from Michael Snyder, and it's entitled The Rapture Verdict. A fitting title, as he was an attorney. You know, a lot of you may not have known that about Michael. He was an attorney before he got into, the Lord. In fact, he will be on with us May 18th to talk about this book, which is a really must-read and a must-share book. If you want conclusive evidence of when the rapture happens or doesn't happen and what happens afterwards, then I think that you should really get the book. It would greatly interest you. Anyway, Kim sent me a link to a YouTube video of Michael on the Jim Baker Show, or program. Shows are for entertainment, programs are for learning. The Jim Baker program, with a line that said the Lord had showed him the same things that he had showed Michael, and then it turns out both of what most men had been showed to them had in fact been what came out from David Wilkerson in 1973. So tonight I'm bringing Ken on to talk with us about these prophecies and how they're being fulfilled today, or in fact are already fulfilled. So let's get Ken on. So welcome now, Ken. Up to grow. Are you there with me, Ken?
Yes, I am. Thank you very much, brother. I'm glad to be here.
Well, amen. You know, it was just, I hadn't even thought about, actually, I think I told you, I was going to do this program about this tonight by myself, and you'd sent me those emails. I thought, well, it might be fun just to have Ken come on and make some comments, nothing big, and you agreed, so I appreciate it. Thank you, brother.
You're welcome.
Okay. Well, first, I think the folks know what we're even talking about. Now, folks, while you can go to my blog at prophecyhour.com and scroll down, I know I post a lot of things real quick because I post the breaking news. You will be able to find these prophecies. Anyway, I'm a pretty quick reader, so I'm going to read through most of these, and then me and Ken are going to talk about it, or I'm going to get Ken to talk about it because he's got some really interesting comments on some of these. Anyway, this is David Wilkerson's prophecy, 1973. Worldwide recession caused by economic confusion. This is the first headline. At most, a few or more fat, flourishing years, and then an economic recession is going to affect the lifestyle of every wage earner in the world. The world economist is going to be at a loss to explain what's happening, and it's going to start in Europe and spread to Japan and finally the United States. Well, I won't comment. I'll read them all, and then we'll go back over them. Anyway, number two, there will be a move towards a worldwide unified monetary system. The U.S. dollar will be hit bad, and it will take years to recover. Number three, the only real security will be in real estate it's somewhat larger state. At this point, apparent security will disappear. But let's just back up. Let's talk about this first one. There will be a move towards a worldwide unified monetary system. The U.S. dollar will be hit bad, and it will take years to recover. You had a comment about that.
Yes, one of the things that I noticed in the book of Revelation is that Jesus said, that at the time of the second coming, there will be marrying and giving in marriage and partying. And that seemed out of context with all the gloom and doom we're talking about. But what I'm seeing is that the purpose of this whole thing in the first place is to bring down all economies in the world, all currencies in the world, in order to establish a one-world currency. He who controls the money controls the people, the nation, everything else. And so then it will become necessary, once this is done, to restore the world economy. And suddenly there will be prosperity and peace and unity like you wouldn't believe. And after a certain amount of time, once this has been established. This, of course, this is speculation. This is my understanding. But going on, then come the contract. Once it's been established that this system is working and the people are into it and they're happy, then will come the time for the contract, for the sign of the beast. And so to me, this is the most dangerous time of all in all of it.
Right.
If we're not totally off the grid, unable to operate without having to buy or sell, and just simply be, once again, self-sufficient, off the grid, working with other Christians in unity, we will be in a very tough time. Well, it will be in a very tough time, period, anyhow.
Yeah.
But you get the picture. It's a whole lot bigger than most people will dare to see.
Right, right. I agree. I believe this has for sure already started. You can see the total roots of it. It hasn't totally evolved, and it can't totally evolve until there is some sort of a mark of the beast or whatever, but you can see it evolving towards that, so now it's the time to get ready. This third one goes along with that, and you do have comments on that also. This third one, folks, it's David Wilkerson, says the only real security will be in real estate. Until a larger state, at some point, this apparent security will also disappear. But real estate, you made a comment about that. What do you think?
To me, the only real secure investment will be real estate. I wouldn't. I'm dubious of gold, despite the fact everybody's advising it, because it has been confiscated in the past. And therefore, it can't in the future, despite all of the promises and all of the encouragement to buy promises that they won't do it that we're so encouraged to buy gold. But to me, buying land and equipment on it so that we can be off the grid, self-sufficient, and once again, working with intentional neighbors or community members, the land is going to be the best investment. And a lot of major millionaires and billionaires are also saying this and doing that. They're buying land. They're going to have turnkey operations. They may not be living on the land until they have to, but they got somebody there that's got it operational, so all they got to do is just show up. If they actually time things well enough to do that. But billionaires are moving out of the big cities by the thousands.
Yeah, I noticed that. I've seen articles recently about them moving out, buying, we don't exactly call them prepper things because in some cases they're almost resorts, but they are definitely moving out of the cities in huge numbers. And, that's the elite, and the elite talk to other elites. So wouldn't you say that the rats are running, don't you think?
Yes, they're running and they know where to run. On that note, a lot of them are running to the Ozarks. Why? Because they know from all of their inside information that this is, relatively speaking, the safest place, certainly the United States and maybe in the world. I'm once again speaking opinion, but it's proving to be the opinion of thousands of people, including experts who make studies on where the safe places are. But not to get too far off subject, it is the times that we're coming into that we must understand what they are. We are on the very cusp of the tribulation period. And if people don't see that and aren't prepared for it, even the pre-trib rappers need to be prepared for the time preceding that. And, of course, they're going to be terribly surprised and very disappointed and desperate.
Well, absolutely. Let me talk a second. That's absolutely. Once in a great while, I even had a pre-trib rapture person on this program. While I do not believe in a pre-trib rapture, but what I want to address what you said, Ken. You know, we don't know. Now, while we sit here and we can see things taking hold, we have to remember that our concept of time is different than the Father's, you know. And what seems like he may take a little longer to do things, to us it seems like a long time, but to him it's just a blink. You know, a day is as a thousand years to him. Having said that, that means that, you know, while we're looking at some of these things coming to pass, you know, if let's say there is a pre-trib rapture, well, you know what? We don't know exactly how long it's going to be until the rapture, and I don't, or until, not the rapture, but until the tribulation actually is actually officially started, so to speak. So, but things aren't going to, I don't believe it's just going to so much as suddenly happen. I believe things are going to get worse and worse and worse. And, you know, look, if you're right in pre-trib rapture and you fly out of here, more power to you. But what if you're wrong and your family's destitute and has no food and you have no shelter? Because, and look, Ken, you know what else is terrible about pre-trib rapture? A lot of people that do pre-trib rapture don't seem to get involved in ministry missions and great things because they're getting ready to leave at any time. And, you know, so it's just not a very good deal. So here I guess I'm going to plug the book again, The Rapture Verdict by Michael Snyder. And he'll be on with us the 18th to talk about it. But you really need to get into that. Anyway, moving on just a minute. I want to read a couple more of these and we'll talk some more. But here's some other parts of the prophecy of 1976 or 8 or whatever that was. Nature having labor pains. It says there will be major earthquakes, major famine, floods, hurricanes, tornadoes will increase in frequency. A new kind of cosmic storm appearing as fire in the sky. Well, I don't know about that one happened, but the other ones are sure happening. They're talking about the San Andreas Fault is ready to snap and go right now, as well as other places. And then he goes on to say a flood of filth and a baptism of dirt in America. This one, and I'm going to ask if you got any comments on this after I read this one, Ken. Topless men and women will appear on television, followed by full nudity. Well, that's happening. Adult X-rated movies will be shown on cable television. Happening. Young people will gather at homes to watch these kind of materials in groups. I would say it's happening, although none of my kids or I have been in one of those groups, of course. Sex and the occult will be mixed. Yes, that's happening. There will be this is the one. There will be an acceptance of homosexuality, and a church will even say that it is a God-given gift. Back to you, Ken.
Yeah, we are seeing much of that right now. The occult in church, my wife testified about that to you here just recently. That when she was just a teenager, she was introduced to that and was too naive and too inexperienced to understand what was going on at first, but the Lord spoke to her very directly. That the Lord may speak to all of those people, especially the young people that are caught inadvertently, unexpectedly, well, innocently caught into these things and need to know that that is occult. Being mixed with it very often, so often homosexuality, lesbianism is mixed right into all that. The Bible promises that in the last days there will be a great falling away, and I've noticed seeing the baptism of the Holy Spirit 50 years ago, I have seen a lot of churches and a lot of doctrinal groups and a lot of teachers that I followed years ago fall more and more away from the teaching that they taught back then, which was a whole lot sounder than it is now.
Right, absolutely. In our youth, and I bet you're willing to go along with this statement, in our youth, I never thought it was, you know, even though the Bible said that these things would come out at the end times, you know, I, in my youth, never thought that I would see this blanket acceptance of homosexuality, let alone by the church. And let me say this about the church. This number four, there will be acceptance of homosexuality, and the church will even say it's a God-given gift. Now, I don't know if they're actually saying it's a God-given gift because I haven't been in there to hear them. But what I do know is in Wichita, Kansas, they are broadly accepting it, that, in fact, they had people traveling around to the churches in Wichita wanting to know if the church was going to be on board with gay marriage and so on and so forth, because I talked to one of the individuals that were doing the survey. And, you know, most of the churches that he had been to were all in acceptance of it and were willing to go along with it. And, you know, I think that while maybe the pastors might, maybe they didn't agree with them, but maybe they are. They're doing it, I think, out of money. You know, they don't want to. They don't preach against these things because they're afraid of losing their people that come. You know, that come to church because they can go down the street and listen to a minister that's not going to preach against their particular sin. In fact, folks, if you want a good program about this, Carl, I pulled Carl Gallup's string in the first program today, and he really went off about it with some very good, important information. And that program will be in the radio archives about 9 o'clock tonight. But that's just really sad about the church. What do you think, Kim? We got about 2 minutes before break.
The things that we that Wilkerson saw that we haven't seen yet. I'm sure we will. We just haven't seen them yet. Or at least you and I haven't. It might be out there. But if we are coming in to the times that you and I are talking about, the tribulation period, within, and as you were saying, I wanted to expound on that, as we the society in the United States and the world has been declining for 50 years or more, and we might that decline will just continue right in to the tribulation. It might well be that most of us won't even know that we're in the tribulation. We might be into it 2 or 3 days or weeks or whatever before it suddenly strikes us. You know what? We're in the tribulation period.
Yeah, I agree. I wholeheartedly agree. It's kind of like, you know, you're being slow boiled. You know what I mean? You know, you don't notice it until the water gets really hot, you know, and then maybe it's too late. You know, they use that old cliche about a frog, but I don't know if that experiment actually works because I've never tried to boil a frog. But... and of all things, you know, I don't know, I'm not a frog boiler, you know, I'm a frog boiler from way back, but anyway, but you're so right, Ken, we really won't know, because, you know, here's part of the problem, is because most people, even though they have seen all this, there's so much information out there that people really exist in a little bubble. And that's the bubble of what they see right directly around them and what affects that bubble directly around them. And until something affects their bubble and it bursts, then a lot of people will just sit there blindly. Well, Kim, why don't you tell them where your website's at, and we'll go take a break and come back.
All right. arkhaven.org, arkhaven.org. And I advise you to go to the button that says community in order to see the section of my website that's on the subject that we're talking about tonight.
Yeah, amen. I'm looking at your website right now, and right dead in the middle, straight down under Arkhaven Ministries, is a link called The Coming Financial Holocaust, and it has David Wilkerson listed there. And if you folks don't know who David Wilkerson is, have you ever heard of a movie called The Cross and the Switchblade? You ought to look, Google and look that up and see who he was. He was a really godly man. Anyway, we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Ranch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, please remember to pray about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. You know, we're in one of the worst parts of the city, you know, and you know, there's danger all around us. I mean, you know, there's drugs being sold down this right down the alley in huge quantities. The DEA has rented a house, you know, in the neighborhood. I better not say where, because lest some drug pusher hear it and run, I don't know. But the point is there's so much violence and things going on there. But isn't that where we should be? Isn't that where the man of God should be, is there to help the sinners and to help those that, there's people that are stuck there that are believers in Messiah, and you wouldn't believe the great faith some of those folks have. But just because they're poor doesn't mean they don't have Yeshua. In fact, you know, it's easier for a poor man to get to the Father than it is for a rich man. And we know that from the Bible. But, you know, we're there to help them because the Father appointed us to help them. You know, I used to think there were other ways to do my ministry, you know, and when I did my, I was building a congregation, you know, and when the Father kept me up all night long and told me to take care of the people and feed the poor, when it came about and I told the people that were coming to our missions, or well, it wasn't a mission church then, coming to our ministry there, or church, Messiah's Branch, you know, the train in the background. Anyway, coming to the church, they left. They didn't want nothing to do with the poor and the home. That wasn't what the vision that they saw for Messiah's Branch and where it was going, but it wasn't for them. The vision for Messiah's Branch has always been whatever the Father wanted us to do, because we want to serve Him. And so that's what we're doing. We're serving Him. You know, and it's really hard. You know, I don't mind the hardness of it, but, you know, that's the way it is. But I'm not looking for a reward. I'm not even looking for a reward in heaven. What I'm looking for is, by doing what I do, I serve people, and by serving people, I get to serve the Father and His Son, of course. I'm so joyful for His Son that He changed me and saved me from the person that I was and made me the person that I am. I give me a broom, I'll sweep up the kingdom of heaven. That's all I need. I don't need anything else. So when we ask for funds, we're asking for the mission church. We really do need your help, because people look at us as a bunch of weirdos. You know, in Kansas, there's a few Messianic places around, but not much. If you go up to most Kansas and say, hey, what's Messianic mean? You know, a Messianic Christian, or what's Hebrew roots? Most of them will go, what are you talking about? They don't have any clue, and so therefore they brand us as weirdos. People come looking for food, clothing, first aid, over-the-counter medications, blankets, Bible, the gospel, many miracle prayers, you name it, they come look at it. You know, and so we do this for them. So pray about helping us out. We have no set guidelines from people. People walk in the door, they ask for what they need. If I have what they need and I feel led, I give them what they need. You know, and there are certain things that people can walk in the door and anybody can get them. You know, food, clothing, access to telephone, prayers, all those things they can get just by walking in the door. But anyway, we are the last hope for so many. And folks, we are responsible to care one for another, as we are a brother's keeper. No, all donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. So pray about it. You can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And if not, you can call me and we'll talk about it. Anyway, enough of me talking, and now we're back with Kenneth Updegrove, and we're talking about David Wilkerson's prophecies that are coming true now that he gave in the 70s. Are you still with me, Ken? Ken, are you still there? Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, I thought maybe I lost you there, brother.
Well, I was here all the time.
Oh, well, I asked you if you was there, and you didn't respond.
I didn't hear a thing.
Well, who knows? Maybe I love live radio. You never can tell what's going to happen. Something electronic could happen or anything. But I've got you now, so that's no problem. We're just back from break. Anyway, we're back to these prophecies. I think we're down to rebellion in the home. You know, we just got through talking about sex and the church, you know, being an acceptance of it. But I'll move. I'll read a couple more, and then we'll talk again. Anyway, the next one down on my list is Rebellion in the Home. And David Wilkerson said, I see the new number one youth problem in America as the world, as hatred towards parents. Would I really see that? And the Bible predicts that children would turn against their parents, and I see that happen right now. And then the next one he says, a persecution madness against truly spirit-filled Christians who love Jesus Christ. He says, there will arise a world church consisting of a union between liberal economic, I can't even pronounce that, Protestants and Roman Catholic Church, using Christ in name only. Now, I know you got a comment about that, Ken.
Oh, yes, we are definitely seeing that. Even some charismatics and Pentecostals are becoming, actually going to the Pope, wanting unity. And this is so contrary to Scripture that it, and history, just absolutely flabbergasts me. I would like so much to sit down and give a little history lesson to them. It's just when you see them standing with the Pope and actually having actually kissing his ring and so on, this is you catch me off guard.
Let me throw something in. You brought up to me about some of the people like the Pentecostal, such Kenneth Copeland and others, are already doing this. I know a lot of the TV evangelists, and let alone the Pope himself, they're being overly inviting. They're inviting people of all religions to come with their under just one word, and that's love, to come with them under love and to unite with them. And, you know, then the Pope goes so far as to say, well, it's all the same God, you know. Ken, did they forget that our Bible says that there's only one way to through the Father, and that's through the Son? Isn't that correct?
Yes, but you got to understand that in Catholic thinking, the Pope is Jesus. It's Jesus incarnate. I just sent out an email today, so if I can find it real quick, where I sent out this picture of... Oh, goodness, if I can find it. I'm not going to find it fast enough here. But it shows a picture of Pope Pius in the early 1900s saying that he was Jesus. That really throws Christians, but the title, the Pope is the Vicar of Christ, Christ incarnate, very Christ. The Catholic chief, he said Jesus came in 70 A.D. Well, if he came in 70 A.D., where is he? Well, he resides in the reigning Pope. So this is Catholic thinking, and he is to be by their thinking, he is to be the head of the church over the world. So that's why he brings all of these other the religious leaders from all the religions of the world, so long as they will recognize the Pope as head of their religion. Then they are accepted. So talk about a one-world religion. Catholicism is it, because it receives all religions and all gods and all philosophies, so long as they submit to the Pope.
Right, right. Absolutely. It's in all their dogma that the Pope is divine. He is Christ on earth. So anything, he can change anything in the Bible, and clearly has, just like, you know, if you look at the Ten Commandments from the Catholic version, they've taken the commandment that says that they shall not make any graven images completely gone. And they moved the rest of them around, and they split the last commandment to where they still got 10. But clearly, he says, and they openly admit it, that he has the right to do this because he is Christ on earth. So we do already have an Antichrist here, because he claims that he can change Christ's word. And we know as believers that is just not possible. We cannot change the word of God. Another prime example is that they openly say, in fact, there was a big dialogue going on in the late 1800s between the Catholics and Protestants. In fact, a couple places it was even worse. But the Catholics were laughing at the Protestants. They said, the fact that Protestants claim to go by the Bible and the Bible only is inherently wrong. They do not. The fact that they keep Sunday worship is proof positive that they follow the Pope and not the Bible, because there is no place in the Bible that changes the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. And they say that. That's in their dogma. If you look in their catechism, it plainly says that it says which day is the Sabbath day, and it says this seventh day is the Sabbath day, and it says, well, why do we worship on the first day of the week? Because, and then it says, because the Pope changed it to worship on the first day of the week, not the Bible, but the Pope. And so, if
Sunday,
we
so
back to you,
that's so and not S U N. I mean the other way around. Yes,
right. You're absolutely right.
Now they worship on Sunday, the sun god day, not the son of God day.
Absolutely.
That's just history. That's just church history. And Shabbat means Sabbath, which means Saturday. And so there's just no, all scholars know that. But and most of these Sunday meeting churches know that. They're just so stuck in tradition that... and the American lifestyle, that's hard to for them to break from it. They would lose their congregation if they were to do that.
Right, right.
Sadly, it's their day off. That's the day to go fishing.
Yeah, well, you know, it's still the same. And, you know, in fact, the Father said that he'd know his people by those who kept his Sabbath. But, so, you know, we are seeing... a lot of these things. I'll go back into a few other ones. It says there will be a Christ hate movement. I see that going on right in the United States right now. And it says there will be a spiritual awakening behind the iron and the bamboo curtains. Well, I know Russia, there is a lot of believers in Russia, but the bamboo curtains, talk about China, and I brought it up in the last hour. In 2030, there will be more Christians in China than there will be in the United States or any other place in the world. So that's definitely coming true. What do you think about that?
Yeah, so we're hearing reports that the United States needs to have missionaries sent to us because we need the gospel again. We're hearing reports coming out of Iran that there's a huge move of God going on there, that Jesus is appearing to Iranians and bringing them to himself. There's a huge... revival going on there. So it's a lesson to be learned that history shows that persecution brings the gospel, and not until there's persecution will there be a real strong gospel message. And so in that respect, when we go into the tribulation, we're going to see people coming to the Lord. That's going to take that to bring the church back to God and the lost to Jesus.
Yeah, amen.
Hard lesson, but that the history says that. So what can you say?
Yeah, well, you know, I hear people all the way, you know, a lot of people talk, and a lot of people come on this program and say, well, Pastor Dan, you know that when the tribulation hits, and at least they're believing in the tribulation, but they say when the tribulation hits, it's going to be all like the book of Acts all over again, and that we're going to have so many people coming to the Lord and see so many miracles. But Ken, you said the thing that's going to cause that. They're leaving out the part that it's because of that intense persecution. People are going to be driven back to believe because that's all they're going to have is their faith. But faith, I mean, you know, that's where faith comes from, you know. I mean, being in dire situations. It's just like they say, there's no atheist in the foxhole, you know. That somebody that's in trouble will call out to God. It's just that they don't seem to remember after the Father delivers them. What do you think?
Yes, we're in that time. We're in that time when it's going to take desperation. I see, first off, a huge calamity in the church when the Christ comes and the people realize that we're in the tribulation, or deeply suspect that certainly in tribulation, whether in the seven-year one or not. For 2,000 years, the church has gone through tribulation after tribulation after tribulation. It just hasn't been to the official 70 weeks of Daniel one yet. And in every one of them, first there is a falling away, and then coming to the Lord with a purity and humility and repentance like never before. So this is, once again, a hard lesson from history. And the church, well, in America, needs this, if you will, to return us to Christ and to solid doctrine, pure Bible doctrine. It is a sign of the time. If you don't mind, I would sure like to go back to Michael Snyder and his...
Sure. We got plenty of time. We've got about 7 minutes.
Okay. I was just wanting real bad to say that the Lord showed me verbatim what he showed Michael Snyder way back in 1974. And just this book is such a delight to me, and I want to get a copy of it because he is reiterating, I guess, confirmation to what I was told so many, many years ago. But the Lord is showing this to others as well. It's not just him and me, but to many others as well. And so
well,
I want to watch, I'm looking forward to you really promoting that book. And I say I want to get a copy. And you interviewing him was very encouraging to me. Glad that your audience will get to hear this.
Yeah. I know Michael. I have known Michael when he first started writing the Economic Collapse blog. I stumbled across it and started posting some of his stuff, and he wasn't appearing on radio or any of that stuff. And I asked him to be on radio with me and talk about his, you know, his website and his first book. And so we've been building a relationship for a while, and he'll even say it on the air, you know, he's a supporter of our ministries, you know, so I've known him for some time, and what I like about Michael is, you know, I mean, compared to all these other guys, we're a small radio program, of course, but, you know, he's one of these people that remembers us, you know what I'm saying? He's out here appearing on all these big programs and everything, but he remembers us, and he still will come back and talk, you know, because we're friends. And so the book, let me tell you, brother, Ken, I really have been enjoying the book. I usually speed read most of the books that people send me, you know, if I read them all the way or not. But his book, I have been spending a lot of time on it, and it's great. You know, I'm praying. If I could come up with 100 copies, I could think of 100 people to give them away to, you know. It is a really good book. And he'll be on May 19th, Prophecy Hour, well, the 7 o'clock program to talk about it. So what do you see? You say that you agree with him for the folks. What is it that he's seen that you're seeing or have seen? Give us an example.
That was literally verbatim. Just amazing. The Lord, back up just a little bit and make it real quick, though. In 1974, my pastor was teaching that we all had a ministry. Well, that was news to me, so I was out every night praying, Lord, show me my ministry, reveal my ministry to me. And one night he did, and I was totally caught off guard. But he said that the time was coming when there would be an economic crash. That was far surpassed even the depression of the 30s, but it would be more than an economic crash. It would be a social, economic, political crash that the United States and the world would be in total crisis, and that his church would be totally unprepared for it, and his people would be turning to the pastor and say, why didn't you tell us? Why have you lied to us? Here we are in terrible times, and you didn't say anything about it. And Many of them will fall away from the church. They'll fall away from Christ because they felt that Jesus liked them. I don't see this, you know, they weren't told. And
yeah.
So this is exactly what Brother Michael said that the Lord showed him.
Yeah, amen.
So, our first duty would be to warn, but nobody's, very few are going to listen. Now, I must say that thousands have, but there's still a remnant, a very small number. So many are not going to see it until the crash comes. And
right.
That is so pitiful.
Well, that's the way people are. They tend to work in that little bubble they got going on for themselves. You know what I'm saying? And until their bubble is burst, so to speak, then, you know, they just ignore it. I want to throw these last few in just real quick because we only got a few minutes left. But because these are so important, Wilkerson also said, beyond the fact that we said there will be a wave of riots, we've been seeing that. And there's more that will probably come this year from Soros, and you made that comment. But there will be a fall in moral conduct. If you can't see that, you folks are blind. There will be a new drug that will be popular where teenagers will break down resistance and encourage sexual activity. Drugs are going crazy with young people, and there are some new ones out there, too. Homosexual, here's the two that I wanted to really point out. Homosexual and lesbian ministers will be ordained, and they will be heralded as a new breed of pioneer. Now, this has already happened. The Catholic Church has them. Regular churches have them. And when David Wilkerson said this back in the 70s, that was unheard of. Most people, you'd said that to him, they'd have laughed in his face or whatever, but you know, that's happening right now. What do you think, Ken? We've got about 3 minutes.
Yeah, so once again, we're in that time. We're going to see society fall apart. We're going to see the church fall apart more and more. And the remnant will be smaller and smaller. It is a time for the church to wake up. They just laugh and scoff at you and me and people like us. But more and more, they will begin to see it. And us being brave and courageous and just continuing to give the warning, eventually, some of them will see it. And they will know that they were warned. And then they might turn to us, but more importantly, they will turn to Christ. Just, Lord, forgive me. Lord, show me what to do now, where to go, what to do. This will be a good time for Christians to really know the voice of God when he speaks to them and be obedient to it and go where he tells them to go and do what he tells them to do. Well, you may wind up living by miracles alone, but the more we're ready for it, the less likely we are to be in
right.
dire situations and actually die
right.
or get killed. Once in what you were saying there, that last warning, let's the riots coming, a lot of the millionaires and billionaires see those riots coming and do not want to be in harm's way. They have the wisdom to see harm coming and prepare for that time and be in a safe place.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely. And the Ozark, I really keep being, you know, I really feel it in my spirit that the whole reason that I'm talking with you and I keep having you back on is I want to keep pointing people to this place where you live at. Not, you know, there's lots of property there, but, you know, they need to go down and I suggest that they get a hold of you and come down there for a tour and look around because, you know, folks, you really need to get out of the cities. At the least, I'm advising you move to a rural community to be at least 1 hour at the minimum away from any major city. Because it's when things get real bad, all of a sudden all those bad, you know, there's criminals in the big cities anyway. You think they're all of a sudden going to be saved individuals and they're going to be doing good things? Anyway, well, we got to go, Ken. Time is flew. Why don't you give your website one more time? I'm going to have to say goodbye.
Okay, arkhaven.org, arkhaven.org. I do advertise land for preppers, and over 50 of them have visited me over the years, so I'm welcome to these people. Come and see me.
Amen. I suggest you do. And tell your wife I'm going to have her back on. soon. I'm hoping maybe she could tell us about some of these things that we've been talking about. I really enjoyed having her, and she sent me a wonderful picture of you and her, and so I know who I'm talking to now, and you look like a really good couple, so you be blessed, brother.
All right.
Bye-bye. All right. Bye-bye. Well, folks, that's Ken from Ark Haven Ministries. These things with David Wilkerson have come true. You go look for them yourself. You contact me, I'll give you a link. Or if you go to prophecyhour.com, I did post them earlier today, and you might have to scroll down to the bottom and hit older posts, but you'll find them. Really pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church when you hear this. We do need your help. And so pray about it, please. In the meantime, remember, there is only one God, and that's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he is, that's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. I'm sorry, folks, I kind of got sidetracked. That train is very distracting. But remember, always, always, always being a blessing to others. That really counts. Anyway, Lord our God, Father, King of the Universe, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.